Good evening and welcome to the KXTV Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. We've got another good show coming your way this evening. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. For tonight, we'll be talking with head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, along with women's head coach, Michael Smith. We'll also talk with Northwest women's basketball player, Ashley Nelson, and Northwest linebacker, Eric Reimer, tonight. And, Matt, another big week coming up of sports. First of all, we've got Bearcat football coming up on Saturday. A pretty big game coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you talk about a national semifinal, getting the opportunity to host that national semifinal, it's a rarity. Not many teams get the chance to do that. I know there's been a few here, but it's definitely an opportunity that hopefully a lot of fans can take advantage of.
And it's a familiar opponent with Grand Valley State.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the 2000s before 2010 seemed like they were on the annual schedule, you know, and you just felt like you were going to play them every year. And, of course, their last semifinal trip to Maryville ended up in a loss for the Lakers, so hopefully we'll see the same this week.
And we've had a pretty good week for basketball this past week.
Yeah, this week is kind of a time. There's a lot of basketball that's been played, a lot of opportunity to find out where you need to go to be ready for the full conference slate. We've got a couple of conference games in, but still a lot of work ahead of these teams.
That it is. And when we come back, we'll hear from the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, as we'll talk about this past weekend. I look ahead toward the rest of this year. We'll be back and talk with Coach McCollum right after this as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prenery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we'll be talking with the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, in just a second. But first, we have a reminder that support for the Coaches Show comes your way from the Stuner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For dine-in or carry-out, more information at 660-582-2699. And as always, I give Carson, Renee, and the way staff round of applause for the work they do throughout this program. So, again, we want to thank them for all they do here. And if you have any questions for our guest tonight, pick up a question card and bring those over to Chris Rausch, our sideline reporter, over to my left, and we'll pass those along to the coaches this evening as well. And again, joined by Ben McCollum. Ben, it's been a good week for your team, a couple wins against a couple very good conference teams in Pittsburgh State as well as Emporia State.
Yeah, and, I thought we played well. We've played well the whole preseason, I felt like, except for Southwest Minnesota. Now we were able to close that game out. Both games, we were able to keep attacking, keep in attack mode, keep fighting defensively to get stops, and it certainly helped us, obviously, going into Waldorf.
And I really think that, again, the start you had in both of those games, very impressive. We got out to good starts against both Pitt State and Emporia State, and as you said, played 40 full minutes and never let up, but just great starts in both of those games.
And you know, that's what we've done all season is we really started well. And part of that is our concentration and our scouting reports. We really focus. We really prepare for each opponent. They're just very mature with those five seniors and then obviously some of the other kids that have had experience. And so they prepare as such. You know, obviously you saw the leads and we've talked about that. With this one, I thought that there was a point, I think it was about the 8 or 9 minute mark of the first half of the second half of Pitt State. We had about a 17, 18 point lead. And you could see us start to walk it down for a few possessions, trying to really just, let's just take this game home. Let's just be done. Let's make sure we don't lose it. And I think that at that point I was yelling at him to run more, be more aggressive, shoot it quicker. You know, just play, have fun, and be free. And because they're a mature enough group that they're going to make the right decisions regardless. So you've just kind of got to let them go, let them play free, see if it works.
Again, it's been this way all season long, but you had such a great game out of that inside-out game you have when you pounded inside, get it into Sarzel, Cozad, and others inside, and then they get that quick kick out for a good look on the perimeter, and it just seems to be working so well for you right now.
Absolutely, and the penetration from Deshaun. You know, Deshaun's game against Emporia State was probably one of the best games that he's played on film. I mean, most of those assists, I think we had 17, 18, maybe 19 assists. I would say that he accounted for 16 to 17 of them. And they're hockey assists, meaning he would drive, he would pass, the guy wouldn't be open, one extra pass, shot. He really creates a lot of havoc. And then obviously the inside-outside. But most of that comes from our unselfishness offensively, where we move the basketball so fast side to side that teams aren't able to defend in the post. And so we're able to get it inside easy, obviously on the pass and then off the bounce too, with Deshaun and Connor and Bryson.
When you talk about unselfishness, you see a lot of your players pass up a good shot to get the ball to somebody who has an even better shot out of that offense.
Yeah, and for some of our guys, you know, that's a big deal because, oh, I don't know, you take Deshaun, for instance. You know, he could average 25 points a game very easily. And there's a lot of guards, two or three of them in our league, that I feel like he's better than, that average 22, 23 points a game and four or five assists, but they're shooting it every time down the floor and they're not getting the teammates involved. And when they face a good team, they're going to struggle because they're not going to be able to move the basketball. And, you know, Deshaun's really done a good job of being unselfish, and the rest of our guys do too. But him in particular, just because I know he could average 25 easy. It's just a matter of now he's moving the basketball. Even against Peru State or Baker, you know, he could have a ton. Dylan could do the same. But they move the basketball like they're playing against the best team that we're going to face because they understand that when it comes postseason time, you have to move the basketball against good defenses because you can't just beat a good defense by yourself.
And the thing with Deshaun right now, it seems like he looks more comfortable out there than he did in the first few ball games of the season. It seems like he's beginning to get his game legs under him and really is feeling much more confident as a part of this team.
Absolutely, and he's finding his niche. And part of that was he just had to relax and let it come. You know, I think you saw him pressing early in the season trying to be the person he was as a junior. Well, he's not that same person, and we're not that same kind of team. Frankly, I think he's better. I know that to the outside perception, you watch the Emporia State game, and I think he had 10, 12 points, 6, 7 assists. That wasn't even as big an impact as he made. I mean, he dominated that game, controlled it from the start. I know that other guys had a lot of other points, but he was great. And then obviously Dylan Starzl gotten in foul trouble early. And then, you know, Grant Cozad's been stepping up, Connor Crooker, you know, Matt Wallace is starting to come back around. Bryson hit a few free throws. I mean, Kyle Schlaik does. I mean, we've really defined our roles well, and our guys are playing those roles.
We talked about Bryson Williams. The last couple of games, it seems like we're seeing the Bryson we saw maybe a couple of years ago where he's driving into the lane, forcing some plays and getting fouled and getting to the free throw line. And that's something that we saw really a lot 2 years ago. He did some last year, but he's really getting to the free throw line early in this season.
Absolutely. And I thought early in the season he was hitting shots, meaning he's hitting those three-pointers. And so then he got to where he wanted to be something that he's not. You know, he wanted to be a scorer type, Well, his greatest strength is the energy that he brings and the unselfishness that he brings. And, you know, I think he went away from that strength for a few games where he was really struggling, and then it was like, hey, Bryson, just be who you are. Who you are is what we need, and it is great for us. Most of our guys have embraced that, and you know, there'll be times throughout the year when we got to dial him back in, but you know, he's really embraced who he is and what he does well, and he plays to those strengths.
Another guy who's picked up where he left off last season as a freshman is Connor Kirker, coming in as a sophomore, and really not seeing any of that so-called sophomore jinx out of Connor. He's just really coming out and looks more comfortable this year on the floor than what he did last year.
Yeah, and that helps a lot. I think having him play last year helped a ton. Well, you know, with Connor, it just kind of fits because he has an uncanny knack to be able to play off of Deshaun and Dylan and Grant and Bryce. You know, he just plays off of people, and he kind of disappears and he kind of just acts like he's half asleep, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's super athletic and quick, and then he just goes by you or he hits a three. And he's one-on-one. If you play him one-on-one, he's probably as hard to guard as any of our players, just because he's very deceptive with his athleticism.
And how important was it to open up with a couple wins at home in the conference season? You go 2-0 in the MIAA, but more importantly, you get those wins at home, where you really need to take advantage of having home games, and you got a couple here early, and came away with two very quality wins for you.
Yeah, it's important to play well. I think most importantly right now, you need to play well. And your guys need to buy into what you're trying to do, and they need to embrace who they are. And our guys have done that. You know, your objective, and I've always said this as cliche, is to build, get better throughout the season. You know, when we lost those 3-4 games, I think it would have been easy for our guys to be disappointed with the result and not see that the process is going well. There's just a couple little things that we need to make sure that we fix. It's very fixable, and our guys did that, stayed with the process, and now, especially this week, where there's nothing to do but basketball, you have to focus on that process of improving and then process of preparation for Waldorf and then obviously Fort Hayes after that.
Another key to the two wins, the type of defense you played against a couple teams that had some guys that really wanted to shut down, and you really made things uncomfortable for some of the guys that the two teams have been relying on to get a lot of their offense out of.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's our team defense, obviously. And then after that, our scouting reports are very detailed as far as specific players. And then our individual defenders, Matt Wallace, Tyler Funk, Bryson Williams in particular, those three are excellent defenders, especially on the people that we played. I think it was the kid that transferred from the University of Oregon. I think he's averaging 22, 23 points a game. You know, we just told he's direct. He's going to go one way or the other. He's not going to cross you over. And they executed it, cut him off every time, beat him to spots and forced tough shots. And they didn't give him easy buckets in transition, didn't give him low boards. And that was the same for the Emporia State guy. And you know, our guys are playing at a high level as far as their execution. Now, we'll face a totally different type of player on next Saturday, so we'll see how good our defense is then.
Now, we've talked with various coaches throughout the year on the scouting reports and how you scout for teams and everything, so we might talk a little bit with you too, but how has the scouting for opponents changed through the years, and how does technology really make it a different animal than perhaps what you've had in the past?
Well, you know, it depends on the coach. You know, my old coach, I played for one, and then obviously Coach Center, Coach Mo at Emporia State. Well, you know, Tap really didn't even really look at the opponent. You know, that just wasn't his focus. He just was real focused on his own team and getting them better, and he thought it distracted him from that. Coach Mo was on the other side of the fence. He was 100% know every single detail about every single thing that they do and try to take it away. I'm kind of in the middle of that, where I try to obviously take certain strengths away, but you can't give your team so much information that they don't do what they do well. And so we try to give them just little tidbits of information. For instance, you know, against Pitt State, the Branch kid, don't let him score in transition. So if you eliminate a few easy buckets, now all of a sudden you cut his average from 22 down to 14. Okay, so now, at that point, now we're going to take away one move, which is he's going to direct right or he's going to direct drive left. So we take away that move. Now all of a sudden you take him down to 8 to 10 points just on little basic scouting report things. And so that's what we'll give him. On top of that, we'll give him specific actions. For instance, Pitt State, they were real ball screen heavy, so we trapped the ball screens. Our guys do a great job of rotating on that stuff. So I guess that's the the poor man's version of a scouting report. But basically we go in, hey, Pitt State, play hard in transition. Branch is their best player. They got a couple shooters around them. They run a few ball screens, and that's it. That's all we give them, and then they execute from there.
Now, this week, it's finals week. You've had the entire week off. Just kind of talk about how you approach the finals week to ensure that players get done what they need to do in the classes and still able to get out on the floor and make progress toward the rest of the season.
Well, our practices are considerably shorter in finals week. We try to go for about an hour, hour and a half, make them real intense. We take Sunday off, and then we took today off as well, so we'll take 2 days off during finals week, and then hopefully if you have good enough students, finals week doesn't mean as much as it does to other students. You know, I mean, if you're fighting for grades in finals week, you probably didn't do your job throughout the entire semester. And so we bank on the fact that our kids are academically safe, and most of our kids are. We probably have 8, 9, maybe 10 that will be right around that 3-8 to 4-0 mark. I mean, we've got a very intelligent basketball team off the floor, and then the rest are going to be, you know, hopefully 3-0 or greater. A few might slip down in the 2-5 range. But as a team last year, we were at a 3-0, which was, I think, second in the conference, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So we've got a pretty good high academic team.
Now, basketball coaches also have to deal with the team being away for a little bit for the Christmas break. Just talk, too, about what you want the players to do when they get away just for that little time frame before you come back and get ready for the rest of the season.
Well, that's the most difficult part of the season, in my opinion, because you start to play well, and we played really well last week. We played well the week before that. So now you have finals, which obviously gets you somewhat out of rhythm. And then you have a week before you play, you got Waldorf, and then you got a week before you play Fort Hays State. And then after that, we have a mandatory dead period from the 23rd to the 29th. So we're essentially going to give them 7 to 8 days off, which for college basketball, that's very difficult to do because your conditioning goes so far away in those 7 to 8 days. You just have to make sure that you're talking to your kids throughout the break. And, hey, just if you just go for a couple-mile jog, it's going to make a huge difference when you return. And those practices aren't going to be so difficult when you come back. And then you'll have a little rhythm because you don't have to worry so much about conditioning. When we come back from break, what we'll do is usually a practice in the morning and then come back and do some shooting in the afternoon. Since they have all day, they're just hanging around anyway. And generally it's just all basketball. And it's a fun time for our kids. Well, probably funner for us than it is our kids. But that's all they get to focus on. They don't have to worry about academics. They don't have to worry about much other than coming to practice. I mean, what can be better than that?
I know it. I would
die to do that. Go back to practice all the time. That's fun stuff.
Now, you talked about Waldorf a couple times. It's just before I let you go, kind of give us a rundown of what you're looking for out of Monday night's game with Waldorf.
Well, from what I've seen, they're very set-oriented, so they're going to play more in the half court. I think they're 4-2. They've played a really difficult schedule. They've played quite a few Division IIs and gotten close to, I think, a Sioux Falls. Maybe there's another school that they played that they were close to Division II-wise. And then they've also played your Mankato's and UNO. And they're going to be a good ball club. Defensively, they're well coached. Offensively, they're going to execute their stuff. Hopefully, they give us quite a bit of a challenge that'll help make us better going into Fort Hays.
All right, well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Again, our thanks for Ben for being with us here this evening. And again, for his team, we'll be back in action Monday night when they host a Waldorf over at Bearcat Arena. And before we go on here, I've got a couple giveaways to announce here before we go to our break. We have a giveaway for a Bearcat T-shirt and water bottle, and this goes to Turner Marinville, I believe. So Turner receives a Bearcat T-shirt and water bottle, and we also have a Bearcat Koozie and Student Body gift card. This will go to Emma Clark. So Emma Clark is the recipient of that. And just come over to Chris here in the black shirt. He'll be handing out gifts to you, so that's what you need to do to pick that up. When we come back, we'll talk women's basketball coming up next. Ashley Nelson will join Matt and talk about the season up to this point. That's coming up after this timeout as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Girl.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Highline Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HighlineHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at FMNottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateFordLincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show this evening as we talk basketball. We'll be talking football a little bit later on as well, of course, with the national semifinal coming up in Maryville on Saturday. Before we do talk some Bearcat women's basketball, a couple more giveaways here. We're kind of in the giveaway mood. I guess maybe it's the time of year, but we've got a Bearcat bottle koozie and a student body gift card, and those are going to Rod Barr. So, Rod, a winner just over here to the right, and let's see here. We've got a student body gift card along with a Bearcat koozie, and that's going to go to Sue Poston. So, Sue is a winner, enjoying dinner over here to my left, Chris. Got to make sure and keep Chris busy out here as well. So let's get back to talking basketball. A Northwest women's basketball player, a junior this year, junior guard, Ashley Nelson joining us. And Ashley, I guess, is probably all done with finals, or do you have any left?
Yeah, I'm done.
Totally done.
Yeah, thank goodness.
So now it's just basketball for a few weeks.
Yep.
Is that, now, Coach Mack was just talking about how he would love to just have basketball and not have to worry anything else. Is that, is this kind of a good time of year to look forward to, the fact that you don't have to worry about school for a few weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it kind of sets aside the school distractions and we can finally sit down and just focus strictly on basketball.
And talk about that too, because this year, I know we've talked with Coach several different times about how you guys are having to adjust to a lot of new things and things like that. Is it going to make it a little bit easier to work on those things when that's all you have to focus on?
Yeah, I think so. I think that our chemistry is finally kind of coming together, and he's putting in a new offense this week, and I think we have a lot of time to work on it and just strictly focus on that as well, not have to worry about the school part anymore.
What's the biggest thing when you are learning new things, learning new teammates and things like that? What's the toughest part about that?
I think just coming together. I mean, there's seven new returners, I think, and then just coming together as one, trying to gain chemistry with all these new players coming in and different lineups, and trying to get to know everyone's strengths and weaknesses and how to work together.
Now, the last game out, you guys had a real good game against Emporia State. Does a game like that, where you play a top team in the nation right down to the wire, does that help with that chemistry and building that along the line?
I think it does. I think it gave us some confidence within each other, knowing that we can compete with anyone in this conference, yet alone the nation. And I think that it really helped us together, like, open up our eyes and realize that if we can just come together as one and buy into what Coach is telling us, I think that we have a really good chance to be really successful the rest of the the season.
But what was it, especially that run there late in the ball game? You guys had a tremendous run to cut the game, make it a close game. What was it during that stretch that you guys felt was working well that allowed you to get back into it?
I think just the passion within each other and believing in each other, and everyone was stepping up and making big plays, and Ariel had that and one that put us within reach of that game, and just working together.
You know, this year, obviously, this is the third coach you guys have had in 3 years, but you know Coach Smith is going to be around. This is where he wants to be, that sort of thing. Does that kind of help, just knowing that you're going to have some cohesiveness as you build with him?
Yeah, it's definitely nice to know that hopefully he'll be around longer. That way we can actually have, like, a foundation and not have to switch up every single year. And I think it'll help with this season and next season, especially knowing that he'll be around so we can have people who know his system.
What's your favorite part about Northwest Bearcat basketball, that sort of thing?
About Bearcat basketball? Just,
yeah.
I don't know. I love being in Maryville. It's just such a great town, and there's so much support behind every sport, including women's basketball, and just having people behind us and believing in us.
And the opportunity to be, you're kind of in a good spot. It seems like all students from Omaha, you're not too far away from home, that if you want to go visit, you can. Not too bad, but yet you're not right at home. So that's got to be an advantage as well.
Yeah, a lot of my teammates, their families come, and I know a couple kids are from Iowa, and their families come. So we get support from not only the community, but our families as well.
Is it when you get into conference play, you get the opportunities to have the doubleheaders with the men's teams, you know, where a lot of the non-conference, you're just kind of playing that single game. Is it fun having those doubleheaders, getting chances to travel with the guys' team, things like that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have a pretty close relationship with the men's team, and as when we play at home and they're playing directly after us, we usually get pretty good crowds for our games as well as theirs.
Hopefully, I saw them over there when they were watching the end of the Emporia game. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they're a little distracted, not thinking about their game, enjoying what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
So, accounting, right? That's what you're
studying? No, I switched it to marketing and management.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably good. You know, marketing management just seems, it sounds more fun.
Yeah.
Do you have, I know you've got a couple of years or a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to do once you're done here at Northwest?
I have no idea yet. I was talking to Nate Davis. I think I'm going to try and steal Monique's internship kind of next season and hopefully do that. Definitely something with sports marketing, hopefully, though, down the line.
Yeah. In terms of the sports side of it, you talked about how you've got that close relationship with the men's team, which seems kind of obvious, but just athletics in general, it just seems like a family atmosphere. Do you see that with kind of all teams and everybody mixes together well?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, like, I have a lot of friends on different sports teams, and we go support them as a basketball team going to their events, and they come to ours. It's just kind of like a general mutual respect within each other and supporting everyone.
So many of the sports, as do you guys, have tough competition in this conference, in the MIAA. Does it make it easier to get up for games, to be excited for a season when you know each and every night you're going to have a competitive game?
Yeah, it does. It's exciting to be in one of the best conferences in the nation, knowing that you're not going to go into any game knowing that you're just going to blow out a team, but it's fun to have a competition. You have to work hard for every win in this league.
Do you have certain teams that you really like to play against or that you look forward to playing against?
Mo West, definitely.
Yeah.
Mo West, always. It's always a blood battle.
No matter here or there, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Well, Ashley, thanks for being with us. Good luck through the rest of this season. I know record-wise the start hasn't been there, but it really looks like you guys have made a lot of improvements since the start of the year.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for what the rest of the MIAA conference we have to show.
All right. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
That's Ashley Nelson, a guard for the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, a junior out of Omaha. And we'll continue talking women's basketball when we come back. We'll hear from Ashley and her teammates, head coach Michael Smith. We'll do that right after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarryvilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue to talk Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. Joining us now is Michael Smith, the head coach of the Bearcat women's basketball team. And, Coach, we've talked about it a couple of different times, obviously with Ashley and Coach McCollum, but with this being finals week, what's this week kind of been? It's kind of tough to be in the normal routine, I guess, with schedules changing, that sort of thing. But what's this week been like with finals week?
Well, it's you're exactly right. Finals is there's a lot of things going on. A lot of times players are thinking about, well, what do I need to do here at the last minute to try and pull that B or to pull that C, you know, or whatever. So I've been doing this long enough to know that you're not going to be able to come in and get a really good, consistent two-hour practice every day like you usually do. So, you know, we took off Tuesday, went Monday for a little while, but usually our routine is about an hour and 15 minutes during finals week. Matter of fact, as I was just telling you, it was hard today to find a time, so we went two groups of six individuals for just an hour just to try and get some reps, get some shooting, that type of thing, because or else we would have had to go probably about 7:30 tonight. You know, and after a long week, I basically wanted them to get to bed and get some rest because we're going to go at it tomorrow. You know, tomorrow morning we're good before graduation and get a full two-hour practice in.
Obviously, different seasons, different situations, different coaches are going to feel different about a break because you guys have some time between games. In the situation you guys are in, is this a good thing where this falls in the season?
It's been great for us just because, you know, after a while our kids have really been battling the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the outcome hasn't been what we've all wanted, but I've really seen a lot of maturity with this group, and it's hard to keep their confidence up. So having this 8-9 day break between games, whatever we have until we have non-conference game next Wednesday, has been great for a lot of things. We've been able to try to put some more things in offensively, especially when we've made a different change in our lineup, you know, a week or two ago. To do that, and I think our kids are really seeing what we can do with that. And more importantly, what I'm seeing out of this group right now is I think we're really starting to find our identity a little bit. You know, it's been rough, as you know. We've talked about it numerous times, but again, to play Pittsburgh State to 2 points, have a chance to win at the buzzer last Thursday, and then we had the number three team in the country in Emporia State here on Saturday. And really battled back. That's probably the one thing I've been the most proud of with this team is, you know, at times we've gotten down, but we've really battled back and put ourselves in a position to have a chance. And against the number three team who basically had four starters back off last year's team that was in a Sweet 16, I felt like was very good. I think it showed our kids that, hey, we can, you know, if we just listen, we just buy in a little bit. Again, as I say, we're starting to find our identity a little bit, that we have a chance in this league, you know. And so that was really good from a standpoint to walk away out of Bearcat with only a 4-point loss against Emporia on Saturday. So, but it is tough. You and I talked, you know, and a loss is a loss. At the end of the day, there's no moral victories for the most part. To me, I know we've gotten better, as I've said, and that's what's keeping me going right now and keeping me hungry with this group, because I think it is a group of kids that really do want to have success. I really do believe that.
When you look at that Emporia game, let's talk about the last 10 minutes of the game, because really that was a pretty impressive comeback. You guys were down by double digits and able to make a game of it there at the end. What did you see the team doing there in the last 10 minutes to come back?
Well, a couple of things. The most, probably the most impressed I was is is how we stood up, and really a lot of people took charge when Monique went down with the injury. Because when your starting point guard goes out of the game, oftentimes you drop off a lot. We didn't. If anything, we may have even picked up a little bit. And I think a lot of that was our players, we were just trying to calm them down and say, play within your abilities. At times, we've been known to try and do too much, and it's hurt us more than it's helped us. So right now, just trying to, I think you and I talked as well after the game, but I told him halftime, I said, listen, we're going to play the way I want to. You know, coaches always say that, but I really stress that we're going to play the way that I want to. Make Emporia play the way we want to. We're going to slow it down a little bit. We're going to be a little more patient on offense and get better shots. And by doing that, they don't understand either. That's when we're getting our rest, you know, for the most part, when we're not up and down, up and down, up and down. We don't have the depth to do that with Emporia. So I think those was a chance. And we changed it up a little bit defensively. We would go from man to zone, trying to throw them off rhythm a little bit. And I think those two things really, really played a big factor for us. So we really walked away, learning a lot more about ourselves after the Emporia game.
It really seemed like late in the game, maybe it was the switching of the defenses, but we saw them taking a lot of threes and missing, but you guys were getting rebounds and able to get back at the other end and get into what you wanted to do.
Yeah, defensively, we've really, really gotten a lot better. Oh, my goodness, we've gotten so much better since that opening weekend. I think we were giving up 90 points. It seemed like the first three games of the season, and now I think the last three to four games, I think we've averaged, our scoring defense has been, 58, 60, something like that. And that's what it's going to have to be if we're going to have a chance. We're trying to find new ways to score. As I said, we tweaked up our offense a little bit here over finals week, but our bread and butter is going to have to be our defense this year. There's no doubt about that. And when most teams have success, it's because they're pretty good on the defensive end.
Now, I know previously zone was a four-letter word to Ooh. You, but are you a little more of a believer now that you've seen it the last couple of weeks?
Well, yes and no. But, we've never worked on it in practice.
Really?
That's how much of a believer I am. but it also says something about our kids. And say, hey, we're going to go zone. They look at me, and I'm like, don't ask, just go zone, because I'm not a zone coach, but they've made adjustments, and the returners know it because they ran it last year,
yeah,
for the most part. So we're trying to spend all of our time on our man-to-man defense, which, we played for 32, 33 minutes against Emporia, and then we went to the zone there a little bit there towards the end when they were struggling, shooting. And a lot of times the bad thing about zone is it's hard to box out against it when you're in a zone defense. It really is. So when you give teams the ability to get offensive rebounds, it can really hurt you. It played in our favor, fortunately, against Emporia. They were taking long shots, which usually creates long rebounds, but the zone allowed us to give them one and done, basically one and out. And that was the big, big difference in the game, again, going back to our defense, we hold the two-time All-American at Pitt on Thursday to 11-6. It's the first time that's been done in a long time.
Yeah.
And then we come in and we hold Emporia's leading scorer and three-point shooter to 0-for-7 from three, the Patrick kid. So, and that comes down with, like you and I have talked about, our scout. We spent an hour in the film room on that Friday between Thursday and Saturday's game on that Friday, because we only have one day to prep for Emporia. We spent an hour, first hour of practices in the film room with notebooks. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. And then we go out on the floor and we say, this is what we were talking about, and this is why we want to do this. So that goes back to, again, the maturity of our kids, how much they're really starting to buy in a little bit. The wall is starting to crumble, I guess you could say. We've talked about that in the past, about some of them, how some of them had that wall up, and I understood.
Yeah.
With it being the third coach. We have, but I think our kids are starting to see that, I do care. I do want them to have success. We're all in this together, and if we stick together, we've got a chance to really have some success this year.
Another thing about this little bit of a break, especially in the conference schedule, is the new players have gotten a little bit of a taste of MIAA basketball, and there's something to be said about playing an MIAA game to learn what the competition is like.
You're exactly right, and I just look back to last year's schedule. And nothing against other teams, but we start out this year at home with Pittsburgh State and Emporia. And last year they started with Lincoln. No, not Lincoln. It was Lindenwood and Kearney. So the team that finished second to last and last year, they opened up. And then this year, we're playing the number three team in the country and all that. But, you know, it's good. We get them all out of the way early. We got to go to Hayes here in a couple weeks. And I didn't look at the polls this week because I knew it didn't affect us. But last week, they had three. We had three MIAA teams in the top 25, and Hayes was receiving votes. So they might be in the top 25 right now, but regardless, we're getting better, and we got our hands full when we go out there here in a couple of weeks.
Now, you guys have the one non-conference next Wednesday before you get back into conference play. Between now and then, now that finals are really over and you've got a chance to do some more focusing, you mentioned you'd take some time off Saturday, but what's the focus between now using that non-conference game to make sure you're ready for the rest of the MIAA schedule?
Well, I think it's a great time for us to have a non-conference game just because we've had such a long layoff. I knocked the dust off a little bit before we go out to Hayes, because that's a long trip to make. They're always tough to play at their place. They have a good crowd. The best thing is the students will be gone, so they'll be limited a little bit from that standpoint. But another doubleheader with our men, and so it's good to have this non-conference game at home. Try to get some confidence before you go on the road, and then we have that life in the balance break that we have to take for the NCAA. Well, that's 7 days. I think it's 7 days mandatory, and then we'll get back and start practicing, I think, on the 30th, and then here comes MIAA for the rest of the year after that.
It really kind of seems like the way things lay out with this week and then that mandatory break that you talked about, that because I know it seems like we talk a lot in late January through February how you're balancing the fatigue and just playing so many games, so many tough games, that these kind of fall in a good spot to make sure that you've got an opportunity to be as ready physically to get into that kind of a schedule.
You're exactly right. January and February is just a grind. That's what I tell them. I've always told our players, it's, you know, MIAA every Wednesday, every Saturday. You're going to get everybody's best shot. Hopefully we're going to give everybody our best shot as well, to do that, because it's the best in the country as far as, women's basketball, I think, at this level. So, we're trying to get all the changes we need to in now, the tweaks here and there offensively, because as you said, when you get in January, you're playing, you're scouting, preparing for the next opponent. You don't have time to go back and say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. You don't have time. By then you should know it, and you should know it really well, and that's our goal right now. So then all we're doing now is we're just getting better with our chemistry, playing more and more, getting more comfortable in it, and then preparing for every opponent we have on the schedule.
And before we let you go, you mentioned Monique Stevens earlier, obviously had that injury against Emporia. How's she doing?
She's doing great. She actually walked through some stuff today at the individual group, and I think she's going to be full go by Sunday or Monday. So she should be in the lineup on Wednesday's game, which will be good, to have her out there. And then, but the best thing is, like I said, if she's not, we saw that people have stepped up and filled that position for us. So that's always good to know from a coaching standpoint, because that's the most important position on the floor, is your quarterback. So basically, so she's going to be good. She's a tough kid. And, this is it for her. This is her senior year. She knows that she's got to go out and give every bit that she can, because there won't be no more, come the end of March.
All right, Coach, well, enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot.
That is Michael Smith, Northwest Women's Basketball Coach, here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We are in downtown Maryville, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little Bearcat football, as, of course, the national semifinal coming up at Bearcat Stadium this Saturday. We'll be back with more after this from Carson's. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grills. We do every Thursday at this time. And before we talk with Eric Reimer, the linebacker for the Bearcats, let's have another giveaway to hand out here. The winner of a Bearcat water bottle goes to Jackson Gutzmer. So Jackson Gutzmer receives a Bearcat water bottle. And again, Eric Reimer joining us. And Eric, talking to you just a little bit before we went on, that Pierce practice has been a little cold this week as you get gearing up for the big game on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a little cold today, not too bad, but it's well worth it being able to play in the national semifinals.
It's kind of bad we got hecklers here.
Yeah, I got some fans here.
But I mean, you should be used to the weather a little bit, though, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I get that a lot. You know, when it's cold out, it's still pretty cold to me, even though I'm from Wisconsin, but... yeah, it's not too bad, not as bad as some of these guys that are used to the warmer weather down here in Missouri, or, you know, the Dixons down in Florida.
They let you know about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of talk about your season up to this point. It seems like every game we've watched you progress throughout this year, you're coming up with some big plays, and it just really seems like you put together a heck of a season. Just kind of talk about the expectations you had at the start of the year and how things have gone for you throughout this season.
Yeah, this is my first year starting. You know, every game I'm just trying to get a lot better. And, you know, the coach has put us in great position to make plays and do what we're supposed to do. And that's what a lot of guys have done this year for our team. And it's worked out pretty well for us.
And, again, as you look at the postseason honors, you received some of those honors with all MIAA, second team All-Region, and another one that I think a lot of people were real proud about, the Academic All-American Award that you received. And just kind of talk about what those mean to you.
Yeah, those are nice to have, especially the Academic All-American one, you know, showing that I do work hard in the classroom as well. It is nice to get a little bit of recognition for that. But, you know, overall, it's really a team effort, and... I think we're playing great as a team right now, and that's what's going to win us the national championship.
That's one thing when you look at the defense. You have so many guys, whether starters or guys coming off the bench and getting out there and getting their reps in a game, but really seems like the defense really has bonded as a team throughout this season.
Yeah, I think the more we got playing and realized that if we do our 111th, what the coaches always talk about, do our job, we can be a really good defense, and as long as we stick to the game plan, you know, we're going to be in good position to make plays when they come to us.
And it seems like, too, you've gone up against some very good offenses. Look at last week with St. Cloud. They had a quarterback came in with some great numbers, and you were able to really hold him down and make things tough. And it seems like you've been able to take away the strength of whatever the strength is coming in out of an opponent's offense, and you've done such a good job of what the things that you need to do to slow down the offenses up to this point.
Yeah, every week, you know, we take that as a challenge. We're going to try and stop the run and make them one-dimensional, and we've done a pretty good job of that. It's not always easy, you know, but our offense helps that a lot by scoring, putting up a lot of points. But like I said before, you know, 111th, do your job. And that's really stuck. You know, we stuck to that the whole year.
Talk about playing in the playoffs and the experience you had up to this point.
Yeah, the playoffs, I haven't really done too much before this year, you know, not starting. But, you know, as it goes on, I think we're growing. You know, all the extra practices, the extra games we get to play in, that's a lot more experience, not only for me, but, you know, for younger guys, too, getting in a lot. And it's been a fun ride so far.
Let's talk about the matchup coming up on Saturday. Grand Valley State, a team that Northwest has a lot of history with through the years. This will be your first experience with Grand Valley. And talk a little bit about what the defense has been trying to key on against Grand Valley's offense.
You know, they got a physical offensive line. They have good at both running and passing the ball. They're so we're really trying to, like, again, make them one-dimensional, try to take away the run, be physical against the run, and you know, hopefully just our defensive backs are holding down later in the game.
How much fun is it right now to be still playing football this late into December?
Besides the cold, which I'm fine with, it's a blast. I love doing this stuff, especially just spending more time with the teammates. And, you know, not many teams get a chance to play for the national championship and in semifinal games.
All right, well, Eric, thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And that's Eric Reimer, linebacker for the Bearcats, the All-MIAA and an All-Region honoree from Northwest Missouri State, as he's getting ready to take on Grand Valley State this upcoming Saturday afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk more Northwest Athletics as Athletic Director Mel Churchman will be joining us. That's coming up right after this timeout as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Kerry Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill. With Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffin. We'll be joined in just a moment by the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. But Matt, I believe we have another giveaway to hand out here tonight.
Yeah, we've got a Bearcat koozie and student body gift card, and this one going to Jasmine. And you know what? I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to spell it. R-A-M-A-G-E. Jasmine. Is it Ramage? Ramage? Something like that? Jasmine, are you still here? If so, please come tell me how to pronounce your name. But you do win a Bearcat koozie and student body gift card. So either way, even if I can't pronounce the name right.
All right. Again, Athletic Director Mel Churchman joining us. And Mel, the big news really out of the around NCAA as well as the MIAA this week, it deals with an announcement yesterday where Kansas City will be the new home of the Division II National Championship game for football.
Well, that's right, John, and that's really exciting. I think it's exciting for our conference, first of all, for the MIAA. You know, we've had, they said last night, I don't know what, we've had 8 of the last 10 years, the MIAA, either us or Pitt has been in the national championship game, and so so that, you know, it's only fitting that it should be in Kansas City, and that venue, I haven't been in there, but everything I've heard about it, I think it's really going to be exciting. I know, you know, Dr. Bob Borchter was one of the driving forces behind getting them to apply for this, to put in a bid for this game. And so I just think it's going to be a great thing. We've got, you know, some people here that will be involved. And so it's going to be great for Division II football.
You know, a lot of times when we talk with people down in Florence, one of the things they talk about is the support of the community for the game, even when UNA is not in the game. And it seems like we've got an area that even if there isn't an MIAA team in the game, that there's still going to be there's a lot of football fans in this area that will probably take in that game anyway.
Well, I think that's right, Matt. I think there will be a lot of MIAA people from Pittsburgh and Missouri Western and Washburn and Emporia and Central and Northwest that'll go to that game if their team's not involved, just so they can say, you know what, we could have beat either of those teams that are there, probably could have. But we really do have some great fans, and Division II football is it's as good as it gets right here in the Midwest, and with the MIAA, most people seem to feel like we do have the best conference in Division II, and I certainly feel that way. So it'll just be a lot of fun.
And again, this will be played down at Sporting Park there on the Kansas City, Kansas side. One thing about it, though, the group that will be running game in the future has some big shoes to fill. They did a really good job down at Florence with this.
Well, they really did. I talked to Steve Pierce, one of the four guys who's been our host every year that we've been down at Florence, and Steve's coming to the game Saturday. He'll be here to represent the Shoals committee, and whoever wins the game, hopefully the Bearcats take care of business. He'll invite them to Florence and to the national championship game. But those guys have done a tremendous job, that whole community, and like you said, they had a streak there. I think it was 94-95 where North Alabama was in it, won it 3 years in a row, and they had a couple other chances where North Alabama got in the semifinals, but then we kind of messed them up, and they didn't get back there. And the NCAA people had told me a few weeks ago, some people said, our dream for the championship game this year would be North Alabama and Northwest Missouri State, because they said we'll have a huge crowd. Well, we're still alive, and we're going to get there, but they stubbed their toe last week. But it'll be different, and they've done such a great job there of making it a special event. It's not just another football game for the players or the fans, and they treat it like a bowl game, and in Division II you don't get that very often. And so there's going to be some things that Kansas City can do that they couldn't do in Florence, but there's going to be some things that Florence did that Kansas City can't do. So it's been a great place to have a national championship game.
Well, thinking as somebody who's been able to travel down there several times, fans that will be able to go to the game, that area where Sporting Park is it's tremendous, because you don't have to travel very far to be able to do stuff. So just as the fans coming for that game, it's going to be enjoyable.
Well, that's right. There's a lot of hotel rooms right there, and eating places, and it's going to be, it's 25 minutes from the airport. People can fly in from all over. I mean, it's not a small airport. It's KCI, and so I think it's really going to be a boost for Division II football.
Now, we might change direction just a little bit. A big game coming up this Saturday afternoon as Grand Valley State comes to Maryville for the semifinals. And just from an administrative standpoint, what does it mean having Grand Valley come back to this matchup?
Well, it's exciting to have Grand Valley. I think we're the two teams that have played in a national championship game more than anybody else. I'm not sure. I guess North Dakota State's been in it several times when you go back in history. But, you have two great programs with a lot of tradition, and, both of them were both very good football teams, and I think it's going to be a great game.
It's got to be easier, too, having a program come visit that's experienced in being a part of playoff situations, and so I would think everything would just kind of go smoother.
Well, everybody's familiar with the drill, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know how everything works, and so that will help. It'll make it better from a competitive standpoint. You kind of like to have somebody come in that hasn't been there before. Kind of like St. Cloud last week. I saw them on Friday, and I thought, they're just happy to be here, and they were. were, and they should have been. I mean, that, but, you know, Grand Valley's not going to be just happy to be here. They're coming here to get to the championship game. And so, but it'll be a great game. And we just, you know, I hope our fans will come out. We had a disappointing crowd last week, and I know it was cold, but we need our fans. And, you know, if you've seen that little thing we've done on our website, you know, encouraging fans to come, and some of the publicity we've had out, the smallest crowd we've had in the semi, this is the seventh one, the smallest crowd we've had is like 6,800, and last week we were just over 4,000, and we need to pack that stadium. So I hope anybody out there, if they haven't bought their tickets, they need to buy them, and they need to get out there and support the Bearcats.
All right, well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us here tonight.
Thanks, John.
Again, that is the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Stay tuned. We'll be back in to wrap things up from the Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mountain City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development.